As I was saying kind of when we started, that Laurie and I listened to Pastor Corey's message about 2020, and it was the word for him, for us, was big. And that's exciting. You know, because if you start the new year thinking, oh, it's just going to be another one of those years. No. Then, well, you already set yourself up to not do anything. But as we learn here at this church, we know that it's what we say that comes out of our mouth. Amen? So Pastor Corey was talking about 2020, and one thing that really stuck out in this message for me was this limiting God. Because sometimes we put God in a box. You know, instead of asking him for the whole paying your house off, you ask him for 1 month's payment when you're trying to make that house payment. And you just limited God if you do that. If you're believing for the house to be paid off and you say, but I just want one, just give me 1 month. No, man, start learning how to believe big. Believe big. And with the new year comes new ideas and new visions and new dreams. And so how do we get there? You know, I did some reading about a month ago. This actually all has come together. But about a month ago, I was reading some stuff, and it talked about our society has become so much that we count things. You know, people count carbs. They're always counting calories. They count steps. My watch counts steps. How many of y'all's watch count steps? You know, you look at it at the end of the day and go, no wonder I'm tired. I took 30,000 steps today. It counts everything, right? And then if you, I don't have a normal job. I've never had I have had a few normal jobs. My kids tell people different things when they ask what your dad does. One daughter just started telling everybody I was retired. I'm not retired. Are you kidding me? But that's what she told them. She said, well, I really don't know what to tell them anymore. Because I play the fiddle. I teach music lessons. You know, I preach some. We do church music. My son-in-law and I have a landscaping and dirt company, and I do some of that. So I work. But, you know, so on those things is what are we doing? You get in these, like if you have a regular job, a 40-hour week job, and you look at that clock, and don't you count the hours till you're off at 5 o'clock some days? Yeah. Or we're counting the days to the weekend. You know, man, it's Monday, four more after today. Oh, jeez. You know. But then, if you're like, got a vacation plan, what do? And kids, at Christmas time, you teach them to put those X's on those calendars for Christmas. We get so caught up in those outside things. And what I mean by outside things is, like some people are trying to take care of their outer self. Y'all flip over to Luke. Luke chapter 11. We get so concerned about the steps and what we're doing and what we're counting our steps and our calories, and we're trying to fix the outside. Well, Corey used a verse for tithes and offerings a couple of weeks ago. And when he did, and we were reading it, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and it's in chapter 11, verse 39. And in these two verses right here, 39 and 40, it goes on and talks about giving. But I'm going to stop with these two verses. Verse 39 says, "And the Lord said unto him, Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter? But your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not that made that which is without make that which is within also?" So that day that we were talking about that with tithes and offerings, the Holy Spirit goes, we get caught up in that. We get caught up in the washing the outside. Washing, you know, shaving our face. And there's nothing wrong with makeup and hair, and I'm in it for it, you know. I had a pastor one time, our old pastor at Cowboy Church in Midland, Texas. His name was Monty Price, and he said, "Thank God for Revlon." That was back in the old days before we had MAC makeup. And I'm in favor of that. But when it comes to our spiritual health, y'all let that soak in for a minute. Our spiritual health, that's on the inside. So the Pharisees were more interested in taking care of the outside than they are the inside. We get caught up in the same thing. Now, remember that when you've heard Corey say it, you've heard Cowdy say it, I've said it, when we're up here preaching, we're preaching to ourselves. We get so caught up in the day-to-day that am I taking care of my spiritual on the inside? And how does that look? So the Holy Spirit started showing me that, well, if we're going to be big in 2020, then what do we need to do in order to be big in 2020? We need to look inward. We need to look inside, and is there junk running around in there that needs to be cleaned up before we can achieve big in 2020? And why wait till November and go, oh, I didn't bake big. What happened? You know? I mean, what caused me not to get big in 2020 instead of starting now and going, how am I going to get there and be big in 2020? Amen? We know with our medical health that we get checkups, right? Boy, some of y'all just looking and not saying nothing. Remember, you can say amen. It's okay. I like that. I like amen and agreement. But how do you check up your insides? How do you check on, am I really going where I want to go? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. Y'all flip to Psalms 51. Now, there's not a bunch of scripture, so you that don't like to flip pages, well, it'll be okay. Psalms 51. You need to learn where this word is. Psalms 51. Say amen when you get there, and oh me if you're not there. Or oh my, or help, or something, because the other day I was looking for a chapter, and I thought it was in the Old Testament, and it was in the New. For some reason, I just went blank. Any of y'all, oh, I'm sure none of y'all have ever done that. No, you had never done that, but I had to use the front, and it's okay. You know, sometime it just wasn't there, you know, but it's okay. Everybody at Psalms 51? So if we're going to talk about how do we get big to our accomplishment, to whatever we're trying to do, what do we need to do? Here's where we start. Verse 10. It says, create in me a clean heart. If you look up that word clean in the Hebrew, it means pure. It means pure. So it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So I want to read it in the Amplified because I love the way the Amplified says it. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right, persevering, and steadfast spirit within me. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. I want a right, I want a persevering spirit, I want a steadfast spirit. Because we all know that if you have a spirit that's just kind of like, it's good for a minute and then it's gone, and you're on to something else, doesn't that keep us from getting where we need to go? So first of all, we've got to ask, God, clean my heart. Man, give me that heart and then that spirit. Everybody say spirit. Sound like junior high kids, didn't they? Spirit! Oh, that's a little better. When we look to okay, some of y'all are laughing. Let's talk about that for a minute. Well, you need to. See, that's what I think that we miss sometime, is that when we talk to God or we talk about God, we go, oh, I want the Spirit.
Spirit.
What is that? That's wimpy. That's wimpy. When I say, I want the Spirit. Amen. Man, that ought to make y'all holler. I didn't make you jump, did I?
Hallelujah.
I didn't make you jump? Yeah, good. I almost did. That's the attitude that you need to have. Why don't we get fired up about having the Spirit? That we have the pure, clean heart and the right, steadfast. Woo, Jesus. Somebody say steadfast. But I like persevering too, because that means we don't quit.
That's right?
If we believe God for the right, persevering, steadfast. Thank y'all. Some of you were paying attention. Spirit, then that's what we'll get. Because God says, ask and you shall receive.
Amen.
Right? Well, I'm asking. That's the Spirit I want. I want that Spirit that says, Ricky, you're not going to give up.
Amen.
That you're going to keep going. It don't matter how bad that surgery hurt last week, or your wife is making jokes and making you laugh, and you're hurting so bad you can't stand up. Y'all are laughing a little too hard over there. Okay. I know. I can see the troublemakers over there. Oh, Jesus. Okay, I'm going to tell it. I got to. It's too good. This will tell you what I'm talking about. This is a steadfast spirit that God's been working with me over the last 2 or 3 weeks. So, I had a patch over my belly button, okay? Because that's one of the places that they went in to do the surgery. And it's a big old piece of tape, clear tape, and they stuffed it, and they had a sign in there that was covered. And it was a sign. Y'all thought, oh, a sign. It felt like a sign, okay? It was about 8x10. And it said, do not remove for 7 days. We're going home from the... And I didn't know it. I just come from the anesthetic. We're driving home, and Laurie goes, you know you got a tag on there, don't you? I said, no. She goes, it says, don't remove for 7 days. She said, I don't know why they didn't put, just don't open till Christmas. Oh. I started laughing and it hurt. Oh, Jesus. And I'm going, oh. And she goes, oh, you're just putting me in stitches. Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for a persevering spirit. Okay? Because I'm telling you what, when we got home, she goes, because she didn't take one with, but she knew, I guess, but I'd never had any kind of surgery like that, or surgery really, and whew, Jesus, that hurt. She got me a pillow, and she brought it to me, and she said, now, anytime you need to sneeze, cough, or laugh, hug it. It'll be your friend. Me and that pillow are really close now. Trust me. But we are past the hump because I persevered with that spirit. I'm through that junk, and now I can laugh. Thank you, Jesus. And I can cough, which is, it doesn't hurt anymore. Thank you, Jesus. I like laughing. And it's so good to hear y'all laugh. And God wants us to laugh. You see, that's how He heals and helps us clean that heart. Amen. Ooh, Jesus, y'all enjoying this? Man, it's good. It's good. Okay, we're in Psalms. We're going to go over to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. So when we talk about having that clean spirit, that clean heart, and that new spirit, in Psalms 139, verse 23, it says, search me, O God. Know my heart. So right here, David's saying, search my heart. Because we miss stuff sometimes. Stuff that we've wanted to forget. You know? That we never just really got rid of. Junk. And that little stuff from years and years ago can keep you from being big in 2020. When you don't even know consciously what's going on, but you know it's not right. And sometimes you don't even know. But right now, if we're going to be big in 2020, We need to ask God, search our heart. Search it. Know my heart. It says, try me. And we know that means test me. And know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That word way, I looked that word up in the Hebrew, and it means course of life. Isn't that good? In the way everlasting. And everlasting means eternal. So don't you want to know what your course of life is? Don't you want to know that nothing is holding you back for 2020? That God will search your heart if you ask Him to? And He will cleanse your heart? And He will put you on the right track? But guess what you have to do? You have to say, God, search my heart. Ask Him to do it. Ask Him to do it. Proverbs 16. This is just the introduction to y'all. I'm just getting warmed up. Proverbs 16. Well, thank God for the Holy Spirit. If I had to organize some of this stuff, y'all would get a mixed message that you... My organization is led by the Holy Spirit when I preach. After that, my wife leads my organizational skills. So, and I rely on that very much. Proverbs 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So in the Amplified, it says, the plans of the mind and orderly thinking belong to man, but from the Lord comes the wise answer of the tongue. Whew. The plans of the mind and orderly thinking belong to man. That's what we rely on the Holy Spirit for, is to guide those thoughts and that orderly thinking. It's what I got through saying. I rely on that Holy Spirit for those orderly thoughts to guide. What comes out of your mouth, the wise things, is the Lord. Supposed to be. Sometimes when you say things, you go, oh, why did I say that? Did that really come out? You know, you've heard people go, did I say that out loud? You know? When we learn to turn into God, we don't have to worry about those things coming out. Verse 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. And it says in the Amplified, the Lord weighs the spirits, the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's from God. If you give in to God, He's going to guide your heart. Amen? Verse 3, and here's what it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And I like the way the Amplified says, your plans be established and succeed. So, we need to cleanse our heart. We need to get that spirit, that right, persevering, steadfast spirit. And then, if we commit what we're doing to the Lord, He'll establish it and it will succeed in Jesus' name. Let's jump down to verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So in 2020, if we're talking about being big, then this is our first process. This is our first half of our process. It's what I'm doing. I'm cleaning my heart. We hold on to too much stuff sometimes. Amen. We do. Oh, thank you, Lord. Even the littlest things sometimes, as I said a while ago, those things can derail your future. It can derail your thoughts about the Lord. It can sour you. It's soured people on God because of those little bitty things that you never got over. And then as you forget about it and the years grow, that little bitty thing will rear its ugly head sooner or later. And then you are derailed in your walk. Do you have that today? Do you have, if you have that, right now, we're going to stop for a minute. Because there's some people in here that have got that. I don't know who you are. I'm just doing what the Holy Spirit wants. And that's what we do at this church. If this is not part of the sermon, it ain't part of the sermon, but it's going to be now. Amen? If you're ready to get rid of the junk, and that one little, it don't matter whatever it is, I'm going to pray for you right now, and I want you to stand up. I want you to be brave enough. Nobody's going to look at you and do it. But if you've got something that's eating on you, here's the worst thing that can happen is it can be you. That you have never forgiven yourself for something that you did or didn't do. I want you to stand up. I'm going to pray for you right now. Be brave. Because this is 2020. This is big. So we got to let go of the junk, y'all. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be held back by some stinking little thing that the devil wants to mess your life up with. Man. Father, right now, I just thank you. I thank you for the boldness of these people right now to have the boldness to stand up and say, I'm tired of having this junk in my heart. Y'all say, I'm tired. I let it go. Y'all say, I let it go. In Jesus' name. And I thank you for the big 2020. Father, I let go of everything that I've held on to. And I thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name. Amen, y'all. Y'all can sit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Man. Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Lost my notes for a minute. Okay, so here's the second half of the service. I told y'all, thought I was kidding, didn't you? We still got 20 or so minutes left. There's some good stuff I haven't got to yet. Y'all flip to Luke. And we're going to stay in Luke this time. Luke chapter 17. I love the Holy Spirit. It's so amazing. I've learned so much. And y'all know I haven't been preaching but about 3 years or so. And it's just been a whirlwind of, wow. The Holy Spirit is so good. And the way that, for me, that he orchestrates what he wants me to deliver. And I just sit back in fascination and go, wow. Because I can tell y'all I couldn't have done it. I mean, I'm just telling you right up front. Ricky. But the Holy Spirit is so good. And he showed me this story that we all know. It's about the 10 lepers. We're going to start in verse 11. Luke 17 starts in verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. out in Galilee were the Jewish, and Samaria was where the Samaritans were. And normally the Jewish wouldn't travel through Samaria. That was, you know, those were outcasts because they weren't Jewish. But here, Jesus is traveling in between those. So it's really, you know, in Ricky's little mind, because you know how I've told y'all how Jesus and Holy Spirit talks to me, he's not showing any favorites, okay? Jesus is walking in between the two countries. He's walking that border. So he's not showing any favorite to him. He's just being who Jesus was. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, you know, we hear about leprosy, and leprosy was a bad thing. It was a tumor that started out on the skin, and it turned white, and it would turn inside out, and it would go all over your body and then over your face. It even affected their speech, where they couldn't talk very loud. And I found out that it's attributed to the disease today called Hansen's disease. So this is a bad disease. Now these lepers, there's 10 of them, and in those days, if you had leprosy, you could not get close to anybody. You weren't allowed in the temple, you weren't allowed in the city, and if you were to talk to somebody, you had to stay, like I think it said, like 10 foot away or more. So it was a bad deal. I mean, you weren't allowed to, you had to shout at somebody if you wanted to talk to them. You couldn't get close. So if you were a leper, you were an outcast. And they, 9 of them were Jewish. So 9 of them were unclean because of leprosy. And then there was a Samaritan. Well, he was unclean, unclean. That was better than that, y'all. He was unclean because he was not Jewish, and that was considered unclean. And he was a leper, so he was unclean, unclean. If you're taking notes, you can put that in there. So how strange of it to be that 9 Jewish and 1 Samaritan. So if you look at that, it's like, huh. It's kind of weird that, but they, Jewish people didn't get along with Samaritans, but in this case, because that he was a leper like they were, he was allowed in their little group. So the 10 of them were hanging out. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices. As I said, leprosy affects their voice. So for them to lift up their voice, they had to do something. You know, that was a struggle to lift up their voice, to call out. And said, Jesus, Master. They called him Master. The disciples called Jesus Master. But yet, these 10 lepers called him Master. And they said, have mercy on us. So right here, the lepers are asking for mercy. And what caught my attention was they didn't ask to be healed. Now, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? They knew they had heard about Jesus. They had heard how amazing Jesus was. And they knew that he could heal them, but they didn't ask for it. They just said, have mercy on us. All right? Y'all with me? And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, several things that are interesting right here is Jesus usually laid hands on people, right? Well, there's a couple of cases in the Bible when he dealt with leprosy that he actually sent somebody to heal someone that had leprosy, that he had to wash 7 times in the muddy water. He sent somebody. This time, he doesn't even get close to him to touch him. He says, go see the priest. And the priest, he said, is, if you'll notice in your Bible, in my Bible, priest is plural. Why would it be priest, but yet 9 of them are Jewish, So they have to go to their priest. The Samaritan, he has to go see his priest. He can't go. So they had to go to separate priests. But look how he did it. He said, go see the priest. Was that hard? No. I mean, go show the priest. That's all they had to do. They went. But I have a question for you. How often does God tell us to do something small and we go, These guys have leprosy, and Jesus told them just to go show them to the priest that you'll get the cleanse. But how many times does God go over there and tell that person that you love them, or that Jesus loves you, or that go open that door? How many times do you cross somebody's path that they're hateful and do you know what they've been through? Do you know what they're going through that day? And you're like, Jesus is going, go over there and just speak to them and say, bless you. And how many times do we not go over there and do that? That simple thing. You see, it's time to start doing those little things. We get rid of that little junk that has built over the years, and now it's time to start upping our game, y'all. It's time to start going, okay, God, move me. I will move for you. Are you up to the challenge? Do you want to be big in 2020? Then when God tells you to do those little things, go do those little things. Because what happens is when you start doing those little things and he starts giving you bigger and bigger things, you're more comfortable to go do the bigger things that God wants you to do. Listen to me. When he gives you something little, he knows what's coming next. You don't. And I know some of you like have to know that next step. My wife, I looked at her, sorry, honey, but she's one of those that she likes to know all the steps, just how it is, and you know, and we know God's not that way. And we've learned to embrace that. I've told y'all my story. Most of you know my story. I'm a fiddle player, and I'm up here ministering the word to y'all. Look, the first time I ministered, I could have spit cotton balls across the room. But he starts out small, and then he says, yeah, you did that. Now, here's you a little more. Here's you a little more. See, the request for the lepers wasn't hard. But yet we tend to make those little things for us hard. Oh, I can't do that. You want me to go pray for that? You want me to lay hands on? First time that the Holy Spirit told me to lay hands on somebody in a convenience store, I hyperventilated. In fact, I went to my truck and had to turn around and go back and pray over her, you know. She was working in the convenience store. But hey, I said, you know what? I got to my truck and I said, I'm sorry. I went back in late. I said, ma'am, you don't know me, but God, the Holy Spirit told me to lay hands on you because you're not feeling well. She looked at me. She goes, thank you. Prayed over and went out the door. See ya. Don't be afraid, y'all. Don't be afraid to do those little things that the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Y'all with me? And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, it doesn't say, where everywhere that I researched, it doesn't say if they were instantly cleansed when Jesus said that, or just by the time that they got to the priest that they were cleansed. So, it could have been one of those that it took however long for them to get to the priest that they were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice. Oh, notice. Now we went from lifting up their voice with the, because I told y'all it affects their throat. Now it says one turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Whoo, thank you, Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians, it says to give thanks in everything. In everything. It's interesting that it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. There were 10, right? But only one. Let's read on. The plot thickens. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. The Jewish people who knew didn't come back. You know, I find it interesting because I always want to know what happened to, you know, because in the Bible when you read and you find stuff and they just disappear. Like those 9 guys, they had nothing left. Nothing else said about those 9 guys. So what, did they go to the families and celebrate? Woo, high fives, man, we're barbecuing because we're healed. But that one Samaritan, he was moved so much that he went back to Jesus and glorified him. Y'all, he fell to his knees. It wasn't just, thank you, thank you, thank you, sir. It wasn't that, y'all. He fell at his feet and he's glorified Jesus. He valued the healer more than the healing. Do y'all hear me? He valued the healer more than the healing. When we learn to value Jesus more than whatever he does for us, that's when we're big. That's when we get big. So you see, we get rid of that little junk that we've gotten rid of. We've let go of it. We did that a while ago. Amen. Now, the other thing that we have to tie it together with is you give him thanks. How often do you have the intensity of thanks for Jesus like this Samaritan had? How often when your Jesus does something for you, do you have that kind of glorification for the Lord? See, the Lord loves that. He loves when we praise him and when we thank him. He fell down on his knees, on his face, and thanked him because he valued the healer more than the healing. Whew, Jesus. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. He got something that the 9 didn't get, y'all. Yes, they got the physical, the healing of the leprosy. But the Samaritan got something that the other didn't get. He said, whole. In the Greek, it says totally saved, healed, and delivered to the glory of God. Amen. Where do you put your value today? Do you put it in the healer? In the comforter, in the supplier, you know, because he supplies all our needs. Do you put it in the supplier or the supplies? Man, whew, thank you, Holy Spirit. Golly. So, for 2020, if we're going to be big, let's be big. Let's be big. Let's be bold, but let's do it with the right, clean heart. And the right spirit. Whew, thank you, Jesus. You know, we'd never do a service without giving somebody the opportunity to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. that we have somebody to value that's our healer and that's our comforter. And I've told this before at church, but there may be somebody here that hasn't heard it, because I've told it before, and I've had more people after services come up and go, man, that was me. When I was in junior high and high school, I played in a denominational church. I played in the orchestra. We had strings, and I was one of those classical violinists, believe it or not. I know if some of you find that hard to believe, but I used to be a little, oh, that's still a little tender. Make your eyes water. But I played in that denominational church till I graduated high school. And when I got married and we went back to that church, we had our first baby. So we wanted to dedicate the baby. So we go to the preacher. He said, ask me, I was 25 years old. I remember. And he said, well, Ricky, are you saved? I said, I come to church. I've been playing in the orchestra. Well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Well, have you ever confessed that Jesus is your Savior? I said, didn't know I had to. Y'all, now listen to me. This is the same preacher that's been preaching to me since I was in junior high and never did an altar call in this denominational church and give me an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I didn't know. Well, I was 25. I'm not embarrassed. Man, this has ministered to so many people when I tell them, when I go out and preach. And afterward, they go, in fact, they usually come up and tell me what denomination it is. They do. They go, I went to this, and I went, ooh, that was it. But if you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior, I ask you to right now. So with every head bowed and every eye closed. You see, it's a new year and a new time in your life. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I ask you this morning, please accept Jesus. You see, you have that person that you can value more than just what you have. You have somebody to turn to comfort you, to heal you. That friend that'll just love on you. Oh, Jesus, I need you. And he'll wrap his arms around you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're going to say a prayer right now. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I'm not going to ask you to do anything like that. Just right where you're at. We're going to say this prayer, and I'm going to have you say it out loud, but our believers here at church are going to say it with you. Because they need to get this prayer. Believers, you need to be able to lead somebody to the Lord at your work or wherever you're at the gas pumps. So right now, if you've never accepted Jesus, I want you to say this prayer out loud. Believers, say it with us. Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart, and I ask you to cleanse my heart and forgive me. Come into my heart and save me. I believe you died and rose from the dead. And Father, I thank you that I value you in Jesus' name. Now with every head bowed and every eye closed still, if this is you and this is your day that you accepted Jesus Christ, on the count of three, I just want you to stick your hand up, put it right back down. We got a Bible we want to give to you. Nobody's looking around. Everybody with your head bowed and eyes closed. That when you raise your hand, that's telling the Lord that was me. Be bold. The word says, acknowledge me before man, and I will acknowledge you before the Father. So on the count of three, if that's you, hold your hand up. We'll get you a Bible. One, two, three. Anybody? Anybody? All right. Thank you. There's one. Any more? Be bold for the new year. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Okay, everybody, look here. Woo, thank you, Jesus. We got a new brother and sister in Christ this morning. And I thank y'all for the honor of ministering to y'all this morning. Amen. Y'all have a good time.
Good time, y'all. Yeah. Man, I was reading down, and I was glad you covered that last part, because I was reading down while you were talking. That was some revelation I was getting. Is it's one thing to be healed, but it's another thing to be made whole. There's a huge difference. Like, God can, he can fix your cold, but to fix your cold where you'll never have another cold, that's a different story. That was so good. And that Proverbs 16, that's one of the first, that's one of the scriptures I used to settle it. Before I started preaching, I argued with Corey for a long time. It's like, I ain't called to preach. There ain't no way. And that was one of the scriptures. Commit thy works and your thoughts, your thinking, your thoughts will be established. You better learn how to think this year, because I'm telling you, it's you're seeing the end times unfold before your eyes, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And now we've, you know, I don't know if it's a cold war going on with Iran right now. I don't know. But, you know, well, we dropped a few missiles. I would have to say it wasn't. It might turn into one. I don't know. But it's a good revelation. Good revelation. And you guys that got prayed for, you know, take it, man. Receive that. Don't just think, take it as, oh, I got prayed for in church. No, you got prayed for. Don't just think you're healed. You think, I am made whole. You got to think like that. You got to learn how to think, man. Change your way of thinking. It'll change your life for this year. I promise you. We've got a few quick announcements. First of all, Corey is, of course, in, I think it's Odessa. They're roping in Andrews. That's right. Yeah, that's right, because they don't rope at the Coliseum there. That's right. I forgot. So he's in Andrews today. He will be back Sunday, and he will also be here for Tuesday. And if you don't know what's going on here Tuesday, we have, it's what we're calling a Christian engagement in the political process. Now, we've talked about this for the past couple of weeks. How many of you know it's real important right now? There is nothing probably more important this year than our coming election. Nothing. Our country is either headed one way or another. And I'm telling right now, you know, in our founding fathers, they did a great job of setting the process up to where there's always a stalemate. It's like we can never go extreme one way or the other. But our political process is very important, because you have to do certain things in order to get people elected. And a lot of times it's just because they don't have the information. They don't know, you know, who they're voting for. They don't watch the news. They don't stay informed. If there's one thing you need to do as a Christian, it's stay informed. Stay informed of what's going on. Don't let the media convince you. Don't let them talk you into doing one thing or another. You search the scriptures. You search God. You are a Christian living in a fallen world, and it is your job to be educated on what you are supposed to do with the rest of your life. And voting is one of them. This country was founded on godly principles, and we have to do, we're the only ones fighting. You think the atheists are out there fighting for godly, to get prayer back in school? So we are doing, it's not a town hall, and if I say it the wrong thing, you correct me. It's not a town hall. This is not a question and answer forum that we're doing on Tuesday night. This is not even a meet and greet, or is this a meet and greet? Is this kind of a get to know everybody that's already involved in politics? But this is also, the whole purpose of Tuesday is to teach us how to get involved in the political process. That could be political, that could be rallies, am I right? Things of that nature. Whether it's putting out signs for people that you're voting for or people that you're supporting. That is the whole purpose of that. Corey wanted to make sure you guys understood that it's very important. He wanted everybody to be here. Leaders, if you can be here, if you can be here at all, if you can make time to get here and you're not normally here on Tuesday, try to make time to come this week if you can. It's a very important process. It's something that's important to Corey. He thinks it's very important, and it's important. It should be important to you. It's one of the most basic rights that you have, but probably one of the most important. If we're not voting, if we're not educating ourselves, we won't know who to vote for. Who to vote for is very important. It's as important as what they stand for, because what they stand for is going to have to matter to you. It does matter. Anything from abortion to taxes, or, you know, confiscating your firearms and all that other stuff. There's a war going on, and we're the only ones fighting for the good side. We're the only ones. So be here on Tuesday night. It's, of course, this Tuesday at 7 p.m. right here at the church. Y'all be here if you can. It's a pretty big deal. So there'll be a few people here. I think Edna, of course, Edna will be here. Where's Edna? There you are. So I'm assuming you would be here if you're not going to make it. Okay, she got something planned. But anybody that's involved politically in our state will be here. There'll be judges here, some higher level. Federal, will there be some federal, like John Cornyn, all those guys, are they coming? I don't know. Carter will be here. Carter, okay, I remember Carter now. Yes. So he'll be here too. So very important that you guys be here. If you can participate in the election year, that'd be great. If you can't, I understand. But it's an opportunity to meet your state and local leaders, okay? So right here Tuesday night. Also next Sunday, next week Sunday, if you don't know anything about the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace, is it called Financial Peace University? We start that next Sunday again. If you're not sure it's for you, the first class is for free. Is that right? So if you want to come to the first, is it just the first class or is it any class throughout the, just the first one? The first one is free. So if you're not sure if it's for you, you can come to the first one for free, but then we do charge after that because they do charge us to use that program. The first class is free, so if you're not sure if that class is for you, you can come next Sunday. But if you want any more information, please see Denise about that. Also, our Bible study that's here every Tuesday will start again next, not this week, not tomorrow, or not, I'm sorry, not this Tuesday, but the next Tuesday, which is the 14th. We'll get back into what we have been doing for Bible study here. Also, Edna is having, Edna, our judge, I just told her to raise her hand. She is doing a Bible study on Wednesdays, okay? So whether you're single, divorced, or widowed, whether you're 19 or 90, she said, you are invited to attend a six-week Bible study and fellowship. We'll be discussing God's word on grace, hearing his voice, and walking in the path he has called you to. And then they will have a skateboard and a hoverboard riding contest. I'm just kidding. That's not on there. Have any of y'all ever tried to ride one of them things? When I was a kid, boy, I could zoop around. I got on one other day, and I was trying to hang on my kids. They ride around on them like it's just writing their first name. I'm like, golly, the things they can do. So come casual. Light refreshments will be served. They'll start Wednesday the 15th, which is the next week, Wednesday. And they'll go through February the 19th, 7 to 8 p.m. If you need this flyer, it's actually out there in our foyer. It also has the address to tell you how to get there, okay? Trying to make sure I covered everything. I think I have. If I haven't covered anything, y'all let me know. What time on Tuesday, 7 p.m.? Oh, for the political thing? Yeah, it's this Tuesday, 7 p.m., right here. Okay, that's it. Okay, so, yes, yeah, I'm working on it here. My shuffler, my bucket dumper didn't come yet to dump. But by the way, if you guys are interested in bless the, what did I say? Did I say something that could have gone either way? Bucket dumper, yeah, there we go. I'm making a mess up here. But by the way, if you are interested in thank you very much. There you go. You be the bucket dumper. There's one more in there. If you feel led to bless Ricky, and by the way, great message today. What did you guys think, man? Just, I know his heart. He's like me. He's a crier. Sometimes your spirit just moves on you so much, you get moved to tears, man. It's a God thing. Well, when I was a kid, you didn't want to cry. They think you weren't tough, you know, so, but it's amazing, you know, you can cry. Anybody ever want to get up here and give a testimony about what God's done for you? Don't be afraid to cry. Amen. I'm telling you. Yep. All right, say it. Oh, sing it, yeah. Yes. Give thanks. Meet God in the prayer closet. Secret place, and I mean walk in there and give him thanks, man. He'll bless you. Give thanks, man. This is going to be a great year, isn't it? Man, get ready to have fun. Get your focus right and learn to think, and I'm telling you, God's going to open some doors for you. If you want to bless Ricky right here in this bucket, if you hadn't turned in your tithes and offerings, it's over there. If you would like to bless Ricky, if you write a check, it's Ricky Bowen Ministries, right? Is that how we're doing it? Okay. Ricky Bowen Ministries, if you write a check, put it right here if you'd like to bless him. If you write, if you just want to give cash, throw it in there. But if you would like an envelope, if you'd like to get a little letter at the end of the year for tax purposes, make sure you get one of our envelopes and fill it out so that he can get you a little letter, okay? So put that right here. This is for Ricky right here specifically, okay? All right, y'all stand to your feet. Let's get out of here. Y'all have a great, this is the first Sunday of the rest of this year. Let's make it a good one, okay? Christmas is only 300 and something days away. All you Christmas junkies, I'm one of those. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for that word today from Ricky. We thank you for blessing that word that's gone into our ears and into our spirit, man. We thank you that it grows today in Jesus' name. We thank you for the rest of this year. We expect, as Corey used to say, I expect great things to happen to me today and the rest of this year. It's going to start right now. This should be the worst day of the rest of this year. Let's make it good. Father, we thank you for being with us and walking us through this. We know you live in eternity. You don't even live in time, but we do. But we thank you for you being with us and guiding us this year in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Big round of applause. We'll see you later. Thanks for coming.